Hello and welcome to another Trust the Wizards podcast. I'm Kicker of Elves and I'm just back from having spent 3 days knee-deep in all things psychedelia at the 13th Dream of Dr. Sardonicus Festival. This has been put on by the Fruits to Mare label took place over 3 days in Cardigan. Now I'm about to phone my fellow wizard, Chiritho Garbanzo, to tell him all about it and to rub his nose in it because he wasn't there. But while I look for his number, it seems appropriate that having spent at least 9 hours or so on the A Roads of Wales, that we should begin this podcast with a song from the magical band The Soft-Hearted Scientists. And this is the A470 song.
Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going off to see the mountains. Waterfalls and animals in glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going off to see the mountains. Waterfalls and animals in glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going see the mountains, waterfalls and animals in glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going off to see the mountains, waterfalls and animals in glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going off to see the mountains, waterfalls and animals and glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going up to see the mountains. Waterfalls and animals and glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going up to see the mountains. Waterfalls and animals and glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty. Drive the little white car on the A47, and we're going off to see the mountains. Waterfalls and animals and glittering skies. There is nothing in the city that is half as pretty.
Right, well, let's see if Chiritho Garbanzo is at home. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Chiritho, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
How about yourself?
Very well. Now, do you know why I'm phoning you?
Are you ringing to tell me all about your weekend in Wales?
I am, yeah.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
So,
how was it?
Well, it was fantastic. As you know, I went down to Cardigan to see a load of bands, not all necessarily, but a load of bands on the Fruits to Mare label who were playing as part of the 13th Dream of Dr. Sardonicus Festival.
Excellent. How many of them were actually wearing cardigans?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I would say, with some degree of confidence, that none of them were, because it was fucking hot.
Is the cardigan named as that because it has its origin in the place called Cardigan?
Well, you're asking me questions I can't possibly answer.
Okay. I thought you might have found that out while you were there.
No, I didn't find that out. In fact, I didn't find anything out about the place, really. But I went with Texas Paul.
Good.
Yes, yes. And we had a lovely time. It's a long way, though.
It is, yeah, it is. It's right at the bottom of Wales, isn't it?
Yeah, southwest. And from Liverpool, I reckon it was a 9-hour round trip.
Blimey.
Yeah. And so, sadly, when we went down the Friday, it was across Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I should say that it's the second time we've been. We went last year, but it was just one day last year. And it was 3 days this year. And we went down on the Friday afternoon. So, sadly, we didn't make it in time to see the opening acts of a band called Spurious Transients, who sound very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And we also, unfortunately, missed Jack Ellister, who played, I think he played on all 3 days. We certainly saw him at one point, but we didn't see him on the first day. But you can be very happy to hear that we were well ensconced with our opening day goodie bags, which is a bit of a Fruits de Mer tradition, and our festival beer, which is another tradition. By the time the band we went down really to see, the Soft Hearted Scientists, by the time that they took the stage.
Excellent. And did they play? Because these are a band that we've played a couple of times on the podcast. They don't do many gigs, do they?
No, this is their second gig in about, probably 12 months, let's say 18 months. And we saw the last one as well, me and Tex, because we went over to
Good
Sheffield.
For you, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So anyway, you're right, they don't play very often, really why we went all the way down there. And the cellar was really packed. And I say cellar deliberately because it was at the Cellar Bar in Cardigan, which is a proper cellar with a low roof and all. And this wasn't great for a couple of reasons, really. One was it was very hot, and two, Nathan Hall, who's the lead singer in the band, is a self-confessed claustrophobic.
Ah.
And the audience, which was very full, was very, very close to him. And he pointed out that in order to maintain his sanity, he had to basically... I think he had his reading glasses on so that the audience was sort of out of focus anyway. But he spent most of the time looking down. He was very happy when he was playing his guitar because he was concentrating on that. But he didn't really look up. He sometimes looked back and spoke to the band, but he didn't really look at us. But that was fine and was better than what he'd suggested prior to the gig, which was that he might have to sing from the top of the stairs.
So when you say it's packed, I mean, how big is this place?
It's not huge. I mean, I think it probably held about 50, 60 people really squashed in. Maybe not even that many.
Right. Yeah. And did they play the song At Night the Quarry Glows Like a Mothership or any of the others that we've played before?
They played a very similar set. In fact, I think it was almost identical to the one we saw in Sheffield. So some of the songs that we played on that podcast, the ups and the downs, they finished with. They played what else?
Those are off the last one, that one you just said, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
The ups and the downs.
That's right. The Light Years to Nothing they also played, which was a real highlight. They were great. They kicked off with the A470 song, which is the one we've just heard on the pod here. It was a heroic performance, really, because you could tell he wasn't comfortable, but they kept going.
They played the A470.
Sorry?
What or where is the A470?
Well, the A470 is definitely an A road in Wales. I'm not sure where it goes from. I think it's probably from Cardiff. I should have done some research. I may well have driven on it.
Right, OK. But, on your way there?
And indeed on the way back. But frankly, the roads started to look fairly similar.
Right. Okay, yeah.
But they did play a load of songs from across their back catalogue, lots of stuff from different albums. The highlights for me were Light Years to Nothing, as I mentioned, Seaside Sid and the Giant Squid. I don't know if you're familiar with that song.
Oh, I like that one.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of that song.
Ah.
That's kind of something they do very well with, which is the choruses are very silly, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like a nursery rhyme.
That's
and then
right.
in the verses, there's a bit of sort of social commentary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what was really impressive was that, as I say, it was obviously suffering, but they stayed on and they played a couple of encores, played Hawthorne and, as I said, the ups and the downs. The band were superb, and Dylan, who's on the keyboards, was making all sorts of fantastically interesting noises. Sadly, he didn't play his Swanee Whistle solo, which should appear in one of the songs. He pointed out that it had been nicked, which I think is a terrible thing to steal. That's really unacceptable.
Somebody's stolen this Swanee Whistle?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody who's... I would look in the wherever they're making sort of Carry On style comedies. The person who provides the sound effects to that has got to be top of the suspect list.
Yes, I think
either that or someone out of D-Light.
But it was a D-Light to watch them anyway.
And can I just tell you the A470?
Yeah. Oh, you found it, haven't you?
It basically goes from Cardiff to Llandudno, north to south, right through the middle of Wales. So you almost certainly would have. No, you probably wouldn't have driven on that. You'd have probably driven across it.
I'm sure I drove on it. But I should point out that Paul, who's the other guitar player, played some really interesting looking instruments, mandolins. There seemed to be a sort of a banjo thing which had 1.5 necks on it. I don't know if that means anything to you.
Well, no, never seen one of them before.
Yeah. Anyway, they were tremendous and definitely worth seeing. But they weren't actually headlining on the first evening. That was Australasia, who we've also played on the pod.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm. So former trance stars and now psychedelic tripsters, Australasia. Now, I was going to say how fantastic they were, and I'm sure they were, but me and Tex are a bit tired. So we only really heard a couple of their songs. There seemed to be more people in there than for the Soft Eyes of Scientists, and we're kind of on the edge of the crowd. They opened up with a couple of fairly slow-paced ambient pieces, which were very, very good, but just made us even more tired. The drive down sort of quickly began to take its toll, and so...
And the festival beer as well, maybe?
Well, possibly, yes. And so we decided at that point to head for the hills, or at least go up to our B&B. So I didn't really get to see them, but we were very excited to be in the same place as them. Well, didn't see them because we couldn't see over the crowd, didn't really hear much of them either, but I'm sure they were fantastic. We did hear the next day, though, that Sendelica, who were kind of hosting the event... to their hometown, made some attempt to get on the stage with them, which I would have liked to have seen because that is not a big stage. But anyway, they failed in that attempt anyway. So that didn't happen.
Uninvited? They just like a stage invasion or some kind of massive jam session?
I would suggest the latter, but I don't know because I wasn't there. Anyway, that really was our first day. So I think what we'll do is, because you like it as well, let's hear Seaside Sid and the Giant Squid by the mighty Soft-Hearted Scientists.
Shallow grave.
Now, we started the second day early, would you believe? Because me and Tex had to go and pick up our crates of festival beer that we'd pre-ordered.
Right.
So obviously they were selling this...
Was this to get you through the day or to take home as a souvenir or what?
Yeah, no, it's to bring home because this is the Cardigan Brewery Mantel, M-A-N-T-E-L, anyway. We're rather partial to their beer. We drank quite a lot of it last year when we were there. And there was an opportunity this time to pre-order a couple of crates. So we got a couple of crates. We've come back with a lot of Fruits de Mer labelled Mantel beer. And I'll bring some to the next podcast for you and Rebel.
Fantastic.
I know you like your beer, so I think you'll enjoy that. And, of course, the next thing we had to do was to queue up. Because what Fruits de Mer do is that they make available some very limited vinyl for the first people in through the door at various stages of the festival. And there was a 50-run lathe-cut 7-inch which featured the Soft-Hearted Scientist and the band Me and My Kites. And Tex were very keen to get hold of this. So we were first in the queue.
All right.
Yeah, we did very well. And
did you snap up all 50 then?
Well, that was obviously part of our plan, but no, we got one each. But we were very pleased to get those. And
being the vinyl expert that you are, maybe right. You can answer me this. Hmm. You know, I've seen this lave cut word being bandied around for various of bits of impressive, like you say. Very limited edition vinyl. Mm. What exactly does that mean, and how does that differ from how they normally make vinyl?
Right, well, I'm glad you asked me that. A lathe cut record is one that is cut with a lathe.
Yes.
Yeah.
As opposed to?
One that isn't cut with a lathe.
Ah, okay, right. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to get too technical.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I don't know if I've given it away, but I really don't know. But having looked at the vinyl itself, it looks the same. It certainly sounds the same and it plays the same. So I don't know. I presume that it's going to be done in such a way that you can only do a few at a time.
Right.
But I really don't know. I'm guessing, and it is
a lathe would be a really inefficient and uneconomic way of making records. That's basically what you're saying, as opposed to a normal vinyl record making
press
machine.
Yeah, I think it's a press
of which we are all very familiar with, of course.
I think that's probably fair, but I really don't know, and perhaps our listeners can tell us. But in any case, there are only 50 of them, and me and Tex have got two, which I would say is about 4%.
Yeah. Well, I know you always come back from this Fruits de Mer thing with like literally bag loads of vinyl and CDs and all kinds of limited stuff, which you have not buying, but they kind of give to all the people that turn up. So was there more of that kind of thing this year?
Oh, yes. No, we did very well. In terms of the goodie bags, I think I came back with about 16 CDs, of which I bought three.
Uh-huh.
And I think there were 7, possibly 8 pieces of vinyl. Only one of those actually was free, but the others were very reasonably priced and excitingly rare.
Well, I'd like to see a photo, if you maybe take a photo of all that stuff and you could put it on the blog post with this.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll definitely do that. So anyway, so we queued up, we got in first, and we were very, very well looked after. But one of the blokes in the cellar bar came out, took pity on us and gave us a cup of tea while we were waiting, so that was very kind of him. Anyway, it started about 2:30, something like that, in the afternoon. And the first band on was actually not a band. It was a guy called Steve Kelly, who I didn't know anything about. He was on acoustic guitar. He was accompanied by a bass player who I would not be at all surprised was if it was his son. They certainly look quite similar. And rather brilliantly, they were joined for, I think, two numbers by one of the bar staff who came on and sang backing vocals. So I think he's some sort of a local favourite. It was your fairly standard acoustic guitar fare, a bit... bit reminiscent of the likes of, I suppose, Robin Hitchcock and Nick Drake, that sort of feel. But what was really, really cool about it was the words were superb. He had some fantastic lines, and I even remembered one, which is very unlike me, as you know. There was a song which it turned out is called Butter No Parsnips, and it has the line, "Reading through old magazines, accidental time machines."
Right, very good.
Which is rather nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And definitely worth hunting down. But apparently, he hasn't got any records out there. He can't buy anything by this guy. He's been going a while. He's older than us. But he seems to have deleted everything that has been released and deleted everything off YouTube. So I don't know how easy it's going to be to find what he sounds like. But if he's playing in your town, go and see him. He was good. So he was on first.
Strangely enough, Kicker, the MJ Hibbert has a song which is called Buttering Parsnips or something.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't have thought there would be two songs.
No.
Similar names, but he has one about parsnips.
I'm not sure this song's about parsnips, but that's what it's called.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. And then after them, there's another new band to us, which is the band Magic Bus.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do you reckon they're going to sound like?
Like sort of 1968 era Who?
You would think.
Yeah.
They don't sound like the Who at all. They sound much more like the band Caravan.
Okay.
Are you familiar with them?
Not really. You say the word caravan to me and I'm seeing... Aren't they something to do with gong and prog rock?
That's right, yeah, they are quite proggy and they're sort of part of the Canterbury scene.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, did they play a cover version of Magic Bus?
They didn't, no.
Did they arrive on a magic bus?
I think they almost certainly did. They seemed to be enjoying life very much.
Was there a caravan attached to the magic bus?
Are buses allowed to tow caravans? I'm not sure that they are, you know. Anyway, they made a big deal out of coming from Devon. And I think that's because that's probably a longer track than we'd had.
Yeah.
But we actually watched them, me and Tech. We were sat on a sofa, which was directly opposite the stage. But between us and the stage were a sea of legs. And swaying hair.
Mm-hmm. On the legs?
There was swaying hair on the legs, but also swaying hair on the heads, because quite a lot of the people who liked this band had very long hair, and they weren't all women.
Yeah.
Anyway, they let rip this band. They were quite good. It was sort of a jazz prog guitar thing going on, but some of the songs went into quite long instrumental pieces, as you can imagine. Tex reckoned that he heard the sound of traffic, but I don't know if he was just meant he could hear the cars outside or what. But
or the buses. Maybe that was the buses in the caravan.
Yeah, maybe. But it was a very, very pleasant sort of dreamy cosmic soundscape, and it seemed very appropriate for what was apparently a very sunny day. We were in the cellar, so we didn't really know.
But they
were grand. They were worth seeing. Anyway, then we did see Jack Ellister, who'd missed the day before, and he played a very delicate acoustic set, songs that really entranced the audience, sort of very tranquil, low key sort of thing. Which was really nice because it really set us up for the next band who were local legends and hosts, Sendelica, who are anything but low-key and tranquil. And they really delivered a superb blast of instrumental psych space rock, and the size of the venue meant that the saxophone bounced off all the walls. So that was Lee Ralph, I think it is, who plays the sax for them, and of course Pete Bingham's guitar, massive great big riffs through various songs. They played, I know one of your favourites, Spaceman Bubblegum.
Oh yeah.
That was their opener, and it was an exceptional version, I thought, and they really buzzed on the reaction they were getting from the crowd, which was tightly packed, heavily perspiring. And the band just kept going. They didn't really pause between songs. One song sort of bled into the other, and it was great, really good. And I wish I could tell you what songs they played, but I'm not sure that I can remember, and I'm not sure that I even know what the songs are called. But it was great.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was.
Did they play much off their new album, the Anima Mundi?
I didn't recognise it. No, I would say probably not very many. There were older songs, I think.
Any covers? They sometimes do throw in a cover, don't they, Sendelica?
Yeah, they Well, we'll come to that, because they performed again on the third day as an acoustic, and they played covers then, but they didn't play covers here. No, they played what's it called? The song about not set the controls for the
controls
heart
for the heart of the Buddha.
The Buddha, yes.
Yeah.
They definitely played that. That was rather good. But they weren't headlining. The headlining band actually were the band the Bevis Frond. Now they're a London band, I think. I think they're from Walthamstow, is that
right? Well, I know in one of their songs they sing about that song Waving that you played me a few years ago, and it talks about having your car breaking down on the Westway. And QPR supporters waving.
That's right, and it turns out that they are, or at least Nick Solomon, who's the sort of the lead guitar player and singer, is a season ticket holder at QPR.
Is he, by Jove? Mm. Right, good for him. Well, he must be a nice bloke then, because all QPR fans are lovely people. Well, as you well know,
I do know that, and I'm sure he is. We didn't get to speak to him, but who we did speak to, we met outside. Before they came on, so between them and Sindelica, we met a couple of lads who'd come down specifically to see Bevis Frond. They were from Leicester, and they were huge fans. They've seen them hundreds of times, perhaps not hundreds, but a lot. And they were kind of followed them round, and they told us that they were very nice, and they said that we were going to be in for a real treat with the twin guitars of Nick Solomon and Paul Simmons.
Yeah,
and they were right. They were right. It was very reminiscent of Hawkwind at times, I thought, with that sort of space rock thing going on. And it turns out that the bass player they had with them, I don't know if he plays with them all the time, is a guy called Aid Shaw, who used to be in Hawkwind.
Ah.
So possibly no surprise there. Now, I have to admit that I don't know very many of their songs. I've got a couple of albums and... you know, very good they are too, but
they've been around a long time, haven't they?
They've got a big back catalogue.
I remember I had an album in the around about late 80s, which was it was called If Six Was Nine, and it was a tribute to Jimi Hendrix, and it had Chuck Prophet on it, and it lots of people playing covers of Jimi Hendrix tunes, and they were on that.
Right.
So, and that was around about, I'd say, about 88, 89.
Yes.
That was, so they've been around a long time.
They have, and actually, I don't know if I've played this to you. I think I might have put it on a mix once. I first came across this band because Nick Solomon won Countdown numerous times. You know, the quiz Countdown.
Yeah.
And at some point brought onto the show his wild space rock version of the Countdown theme.
Oh, yeah, we played it on the pod, didn't we?
Did we play on the pod? Okay, yeah.
I think so, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah. He didn't play that, but they did play loads of songs. They've got a new album, well, relatively new album, I think. It's called The Leaving of London, and they definitely played songs from that, because I heard him talk about that. I can't remember what they were called. But I did recognise a song called Lights Are Changing.
Right.
And so I reckon it might be a good time to hear that now. So this is the Bevis Frond with Lights Are Changing.
Slow down.
So it won't surprise you, perhaps, that day three started in true Fruits de Mer style with a record fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
More opportunities for you to spend more money.
Yes, indeed. And although it was Tex...
Any coloured vinyl on offer?
No, I didn't get any coloured vinyl, no. Tex got a good record, though. He found, and you'll like this, he snaffled an Islet rarity. Well, Islet, as I think you probably recognise them as.
Oh, right, excellent.
Yeah,
excellent. I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So he was very pleased. I didn't get anything in the fair, actually, but I did buy records later, having seen bands who I didn't know before. So that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, the third day was a little bit different to previous experiences there, because they were in an attempt, I suppose, to challenge the Duller's Ditchwater Glastonbury. The Sunday saw two stages in operation.
Wow. Yeah. In this tiny place with only 60 people?
Well, no, that was one. So the Cellar Bar was one venue, which is where we've seen everybody to date. And then the very pleasingly named Pizza Teepee also hosted bands through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very good thing, because it was outside and literally under A teepee. What worried me? How would you spell teepee, by the way?
How would you what?
How would you spell teepee?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I'm going on holiday to Scotland in day after tomorrow. Mm. And we're staying in a teepee. And I happen to know, I wouldn't... In old days, I'd have said T-double-E-P-double-E.
So would
however,
I.
However, I know that at Glastonbury, the teepee field, and these trendy teepees that you can hire and stay in, we're staying in the teepee in Scotland, they're all spelled T-I-P-I.
Yes, well, exactly. So that's the sort of venue we were in. The pizza tippy, as I would like to call it.
And how are you spelling pizza?
yeah. P-I-S-A, as in the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Hello.
We had a pizza there, which was very nice. And we had that watching the first band of the day. Actually, it wasn't the first band of the day who we saw, because I think we were a bit late for them, because we got carried away looking at all the records. But the first band that we saw was Syndelica again, but this time playing outside and acoustically.
With pizzas?
Yeah, we had pizzas, the band didn't. Yes, that's right.
I see, yeah. Nice one.
Yeah. And also, they had a vocalist. This was somebody called Alice Davidson, who I think is also local. She's recorded with them before, and most notably on the Fruits de Mer release of their cover of Venus in Furs.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
So did they do a version of that?
They did, and it was very good. They also did a cover of...
They have a viola.
No, they played that acoustic bass, acoustic guitar, and I think it was... Well, it wasn't a big saxophone, but I think it was one of those little saxophones.
What, you mean a tenor saxophone?
Possibly I do.
Yeah.
In any case, it was great.
Yeah.
But it sounded very different acoustic and very good. And I said to Keith Jones, who's the Fruits de Mer guy... Because he was sat there watching them, I said that he should encourage the band to release some of this acoustic stuff.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued to hear them, because they sound to me what you were describing before as the sort of wall of noise. That's what I associate Syndelica with. So I would be interested to hear what they would sound like acoustically, because not, you know, in some ways you'd think, well, I'm not sure that would work.
Mm.
But it sounds like it did. Excellent.
It did, yeah. They were really good, and it was lovely to watch them in the sunshine. Really good start to the day. We then rushed.
It was some delicate.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
There you go, carry on.
Very good. We then rushed back to the cellar. Actually, we didn't really rush, because we were rather full, having eaten far too much pizza and... having discovered a new beer. So we struggled up the hill back to the cellar, but we got there in time to see Chicago's very own Luck of Eden Hall.
Ah.
Mm. And they've been touring the UK for the last month, I think. They certainly played Liverpool when we weren't here, because we were there. But they came onto the teeny tiny stage there, and they were great. They played a range of newish songs, so from the Victoria Moon album that came out a couple of years ago, I think.
That was the one. I remember you had that in one of your best of the year lists.
I did. I really
end of 2013. That was so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it came out in 2013.
That'll be it then. Yeah. So they played songs from that, which I like very much. They played some earlier ones, and they actually also played I think three new tracks that haven't been released yet, and they were great. Really, really good. I would say they were definitely the poppiest band that we saw. I'm not sure how psychedelic they are, really. I suppose a little bit.
No, I mean, they're a bit mod, aren't they?
Mm.
From the few, I've only heard a few of their songs, but they have kind of weird bits in their songs. But I mean, a lot of it sounds a bit like, it's kind of more in the Small Faces vibe than it is in the Pink Floyd vibe, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they played a short set, but it was fantastically good, and the crowd really enjoyed it. And I suppose it's psych-inflected, isn't it? But they played a song called A Drop in the Ocean, which is on Victoria Moon, I think. Actually, maybe it's not. Maybe that's on one of the their sort of greatest hits type albums or whatever. But that's a really great song. But it's a short, very short song. But they played a really long version of that, which was really good. Some fantastic odd noises in the middle of that. And they also played the song Sassafras Overcoat, which they weren't wearing.
Come again?
So, yeah, I will say that again. Sassafras Overcoat.
Red, yellow, honey, sassafras and moonshine.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What is sassafras?
I don't know. It sounds like the sort of thing that an angry dog might say.
Yeah, or possibly how the name of 80s jazz funkers Shack Attack would be pronounced if you were Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I'm guessing now, but because of that Laura Nyro song, which is about going on a picnic, Stone Salt picnic, and she says red, yellow, honey, which is confusing in itself. Is it red or is it yellow? It's red, yellow, honey. Red, yellow, honey, sassafras and moonshine. So I've always assumed it's some kind of fruit-based drink you can take on a picnic. But I might be getting confused with sarsaparilla. Is that a drink?
That does sound like a drink. But if it is a drink, it's very strange to have an overcoat made out of a drink.
Yeah, but quite psychedelic.
Well, I suppose. I'm going to say that I reckon sassafras is some sort of herb.
Right. Mm. Okay.
But I don't know. I'll tell you what, rather than us conjecturing on what that might be, shall we listen to the song?
Let's do that.
Okay, so this is The Luck of Eden Hall with Sassafras Overcoat.
Imperial decline.
So, right. You've been online.
I have, whilst that song's been playing. You were right, it is a herb.
Yeah.
Well, it's specifically sassafras. It says on Wikipedia, it's a genus, or genus, of the extant, or extant. I'll just read it. Sassafras is a genus of the extant and one extinct species of deciduous trees in the family Lauraceae, native to eastern North America and eastern Asia. It has aromatic properties, which has made the tree useful to humans. But also, sassafras is a slang term for a drug called MDA, which is similar to, I imagine it's similar to MDMA, ecstasy.
I still find it difficult to know how you're going to make an overcoat out of that.
I don't know, but, you know, our friends the Wave Pitchers, they've got a song called Pea Green Coat, haven't they? So if they've made a...
But isn't that a colour? That's a colour.
They've made a coat out of peas.
No, it's a coat that's a pea green colour.
Well,
it's not a pea coat, is it?
Well, I don't know. What about Joseph and his Technicolour green coat?
I think I think you're losing this debate. But anyway, let's move on.
Colour Me Wednesday have that song Sugar Coated, don't they?
Ah.
They're wearing a coat made of sugar.
They are, yes, you're right. I take it all back.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, well, shall we move on?
Yes, please, yes, let's, yeah.
Okay, so after we saw Luck of Edenhall, we went back outside. We decided to spend the remainder of our time there in under the teepee, we caught two really cool bands, neither of whom we'd heard of before. The first was a band called The Telephones.
All right.
And turns out that these guys are from Derby, and they've got the modern psych jangly guitar sound down a treat. And if I tell you that the single that they've got out, which I bought, is called Hummingbird, how do you think they spell bird?
B-Y-R-D?
Of course it is, yes.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea what they sound like. Yeah. And they've what I thought was quite interesting was that the lead guitar is a 12-string guitar. Yeah, so this was played by a guy called Jim Widop, who was a pleasure to listen to and very nice to meet afterwards as well. We were really quite won over by them. And as I say, we bought their single, which is called Hummingbird, and the B-side is a song called Amsterdam, which is also excellent. But, they're not really doing anything new. It does sound a bit like the Birds, but it sounded very good. And it was a nice
sound. So you'd say The Telephones have a sound that kind of rang a bell. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I am. And then, anyway, so after them and closing things for us were the band Paradise Nine. Now, do you know anything about these?
No, nothing at all.
All right, well, apparently they've been going since the late 90s. Right. Never crossed my radar before, and presumably not yours either. But I think we've really missed out. They came out the traps really like a psyched up Wire, if you can imagine that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, with sort of plenty of attitude to go with their musical chops, and the lead singer, who turns out to be called Greg McKellar, was the punkiest presence on the stage for across the 3 days. He sort of had a sneery type of vocal delivery, and you know, a fairly punky guitar sound. And he had another guitarist whose name is Tyrone Thomas. Do you know who that
That's
is?
A good name. You that did? Is a strong name, though, isn't it?
It is a good name. And
Tyrone Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, these guys are, let's be fair, not spring chickens. And I've subsequently, since I've been back, I looked them up. And it turns out this guy, Tyrone Thomas, used to be in alternative TV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's you know, he's got some history there. And they had a really good rhythm section, particularly the bass player, who I would describe as the showman's showman. His name is Neil Matters, and he did. So he was on bass, but he was on one of those... it wasn't plugged in, it wasn't like a lead attached to an amp. So he was able to wander around the venue with his bass.
Oh, like a radio, yeah. So I'm with you now, a radio mic.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, exactly. And he'd sort of stomp around, and he's a great big bloke, and he had shaved head, sunglasses, quite scary looking, really. And so he'd sort of stalk through the audience, and he thought, oh, this is quite menacing. But he kind of blew it at one point, because also in the audience there was, at that point, there was a dog. And he sort of went up towards this dog, and you could see him mouth to the bloke whose dog it was, is it okay if I walk past your dog with the bass? So he was obviously a dog lover, and actually not that menacing, really. But they moved seamlessly from sort of punky stompers to extended space wig outs. Fantastic. And they were quite political at times as well, which again was the first time we'd really heard very political songs, although as you rightly say, some of the soft-hearted scientist lyrics are quite political on the quiet. But they played songs, and there was sort of anti-Tory government stuff, which is went down very well. And to be fair, after about, I think, probably three songs in, me and Tex had decided that we really needed to expand our record collections with what Tex described succinctly and accurately as some of that. And we did. They had a couple of albums on sale, a fairly new one and an older one, neither of which I can remember the title of. But on
That's
one of...
Really important.
No, it's not important. Yeah. But on one of them, they had this song, Points of View.
Uh-huh.
Now, you'd be hoping there for some sort of BBC phone-in thing.
Yeah,
BBC. Yeah, it's not about that, but
why?
Yeah.
Does Barry Took not present this programme anymore?
Yeah, but it wasn't about that, but it is a really good song. And they also played another song called Distant Dreams, which I really liked. So we've come away with them, and they really were a fantastic band to close the day for us. There's another band called Schnauzer who played later, but me and Tex missed them because we went for a curry. Nevertheless, it was fantastic. And so we've seen.
Was the dog in the crowd?
Yes.
Was he a Schnauzer? Was he a?
Oh, wouldn't that Schnauzer? That would have been brilliant, but unfortunately, no.
Was it a Schnauzer?
No.
Dog.
No. It
what
wasn't.
Kind of dog?
A collie.
But maybe he's in, because you didn't see Schnauzer, so maybe the collie is in Schnauzer, but he calls the band Schnauzer just to throw people off the scent.
That would be very confusing, wouldn't it? Very, very confusing. I'm not sure that that's true, but as you rightly say, we don't know because we didn't see the band. Anyway. All in all, brilliant. 3 days, lots of great music, lots of really nice people. And I should say that we'd like to thank the tireless Keith Jones from Fruits to Mare, who sort of puts the whole thing together, with Pete Bingham from Sendelica, who's coming to Liverpool this week, we should point out, with
so
Sendelica.
What's the date of that again?
That's Friday, whatever day Friday is.
It's Friday the 14th at McGuire's Pizza Bar.
That's right.
Yeah,
so we.
Onto that and remind me, who's DJing at that event?
Well, I think you might get a whiff of Rebel Ricketts' World of Ska.
Yeah, excellent. Is he bringing some ska?
I presume he will.
Excellent. Yeah, so it's basically you and I'm on holiday, aren't I?
Yeah.
But it's you and Rebel Ricketts from the podcast are DJing at this event.
We are, yes.
And they're playing quite a long set. Is that right?
They are going to play a long set, yeah. They're threatening. They've got currently got out. It hasn't quite come out yet, but the next release on Fruits de Mer features Sendelica playing a 15 or 20 minute version of I Feel Love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to miss that on holiday.
So anyway, we'd also like to. I'd like to say hello and thank you to the two Bevis Frond fans from Leicester who were very nice. One of whom definitely wins Wardrobe of the Week by a mile. His shirts were something to be seen. They were loud. They were loud, psychedelic shirts, and the guy did really well. And we'd also like to say hello to the mysterious all-knower who kept me and Tex amused over the 3 days. And I'll tell you all about that when we meet up. But suffice to say, it was well worth going all the way down there. 3 great days of music, lots of good food, lots of great people. And the rumour is that having gone from the Fruits de Mer festival being 1 day to now being 3... next year, there's talk of a tour. A tour.
Yes. Yeah.
Including, and let's keep our fingers crossed, including a stop off near us on Merseyside for a bit of Fruits de Mersey.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that space.
I'll be at that.
So, I don't think I've got anything more to tell you.
Are we going to play out with a song?
Yeah, let's play out with a song. Let's hear Paradise 9 with their Points of View. Bye!
Bye!
See another point of view.